This is the KVNF Regional Newscast. I'm Gavin Dahl with headlines. On Thursday, Mesa County announced intensive care unit beds are at capacity due to rising coronavirus hospitalizations. St. Mary's Medical Center issued a statement assuring residents that surge plans will allow safe care to as many patients as necessary. The VA hospital is working with St. Mary's to accept transfers of lower-level cases. Of 51 hospitalizations listed on the county's dashboard Thursday, 38 were residents. D51 high schools in Mesa County will remain remote through the end of the semester. Elementary and middle school students will return to in-person learning on December 1st. According to the Daily Sentinel, data on community spread suggests in-person learning is a victim of the COVID surge, not the culprit. Aspen Journalism reports the company that violated the Clean Water Act by moving Yule Creek without a permit to make way for a mining road at their marble quarry is now proposing as a solution making the creek relocation that broke federal law in the first place permanent. Governor Jared Polis set a date for the special legislative session he called for consideration of coronavirus relief funding. Lawmakers will return to the Capitol on November 30th.
Extraordinary times call for extraordinary actions. I'll be asking the General Assembly to take up critical legislation that will help Colorado families and Colorado small businesses survive these challenging winter months ahead.
Polis announced Friday he will appoint Judge Maria Encarnacion Birkencotter to the Colorado Supreme Court. She served as a district court judge from 2006 to 2017 and is currently an arbiter who provides dispute resolution and litigation services. A new study from EcoCycle and the Colorado Public Interest Research Group finds recycling diversion rates dropped in Colorado once again last year. Coloradans recycle or compost about half the waste that the average American does. Overall, Colorado dumped over 6 million tons of material into landfills last year, while recycling or composting about 1 million tons. Another new report from the State Attorney General Phil Weiser's office finds rising insulin costs are forcing an estimated 73,000 or 40% of Colorado's diabetics to ration their use of life-saving drugs. Rationing or fasting to control blood sugar levels can be medically hazardous. There's a lack of price competition in the market, dominated by just three manufacturers and three pharmacy benefit managers who buy and distribute the drugs. Patient advocates are pleased with all of the recommendations made to the legislature by the AG's office. The Colorado Avalanche Information Center revealed data that shows an increase in accidents involving experienced skiers during periods of elevated danger after ski resorts shut down early last season. Two forecasters studied backcountry experience and avalanche education levels of 126 people involved in 88 Colorado avalanches last year, including six deaths. A boom in backcountry travel is anticipated this winter due to COVID's impacts on resort capacity. A private developer's plan to pipe water from Utah to Colorado has been denied again. From KUNC, Luke Runyon has more.
Aaron Million has wanted to build a pipeline from the Green River to the fast-growing Front Range for more than a decade. His latest iteration would have drawn water from the river in Utah, pipe it hundreds of miles across Wyoming, and then drop down into Colorado. But Utah's top water officials rejected the proposal, saying the pipeline would hurt efforts to boost populations of endangered fish. A similar proposal from Million drew criticism from environmentalists in 2012 and was denied by two federal agencies and the state of Wyoming. I'm Luke Runyon.
The city of Delta has seen many renovations in the past few years. Now they have their hands on a new project. Here's Carmen Rodriguez with more.
The city of Delta has a new project underway to beautify the empty lot turned park in between City Hall and Mocha Joe's. This space, Centennial Park, has gotten some recent makeovers, including two new murals painted by local artists and community members. Now the town plans to add more to the park.
So we are working to just make this a better space on Main Street and beautify it a little bit so that it's a place that's inviting for people to enter and utilize.
That was Delta City Manager Elise Castleberry.
So we are going to be bringing in some new street furniture like benches, picnic tables, planters. We're also going to be bringing in some decorative lighting, some overhead lighting that will just look very nice.
Delta residents can expect to see the new additions to the park up and running by the end of this year. For KVNF News, I'm Carmen Rodriguez.
Colorado Parks and Wildlife has until the end of 2023 to reintroduce gray wolves after voters approved Proposition 114. But as Scott Franz reports for Capitol Coverage, the board in charge is debating how quickly to move forward.
Most commissioners want to take it slow. Charles Garcia says potential lawsuits over wolves being removed from the endangered species list could complicate things. He also wonders if the Biden administration will restore the protections, a move that could give the federal government the final say over the reintroduction.
I'm not in any rush to get this done again. I think we need to do it right, take our time.
But Commissioner Jay Touchton says the state may want to move faster before the issue can get caught up in a national court battle.
We're under a deadline. The voters told us what they want us to do. Our job now is just to go forward and do it.
Prop 114 narrowly passed, mainly from voters along the Front Range. Parks and Wildlife is vowing a, quote, open and transparent reintroduction process with public hearings. I'm Scott Franz in Denver.
Immigrant communities in Eagle County are celebrating the launch of the VIDA Foundation. Eric Gladys from Colorado News Connection has the story.
The brainchild of Pastor Josue Rubio of the Vida Nueva Christian Center in Edwards aims to address some of the area's most pressing challenges, including health and safety during the pandemic, food insecurity, education gaps, and mental health. Rubio says faith leaders are uniquely positioned to translate lessons taught in church into hands-on work serving those who are most vulnerable.
We need to do something in our community. We need to preach the gospel. At the same time, we need to extend our hands with the poor, with the orphans, with the homeless.
The new nonprofit's first program will be Take My Hand, where volunteers prepare healthy after-school snacks for elementary-age kids from families who struggle to put food on the table. VIDA Foundation has also partnered with local public schools to help build middle school students' confidence, provide basic vocational skills, and improve education outcomes. And the group has plans for a mental health and well-being initiative through outdoor recreation and stewardship, as well as a sobriety program. Pastor Rubio is a recent graduate of the Hispanic Leadership Network's inaugural class, which tapped a diverse group of 25 leaders from across the nation. The 10-month program was created by the Hispanic Access Foundation. Maite Arce, the foundation's president and CEO, says faith leaders are an important and trusted resource in communities because they're on the front lines.
This program was developed in order to build their capacity, provide educational tools and resources, help them to develop community partnerships and build a peer mentor network of support.
Rubio says the Hispanic Leadership Network was key for getting the nonprofit up and running, in part because it helped him connect with a pastor doing similar work in Arizona.
For a pastor, it's very good to have a network. Every pastor tries to be better, but sometimes we need to find people around the country that they are doing the same like you want it.
This is Eric Gladys reporting for the Colorado News Connection.
If you would like to share story ideas, feedback, or news tips with the KVNF News Department, we want to hear from you. Email news@kvnf.org or call the station at 866-KVNF now and ask to leave a message for the news director. That does it for the KVNF Regional Newscast. I'm Gavin Dahl. Thanks for listening.